Tell us when you're ready. Okay. Like to welcome everyone out to our special CDRA meeting tonight, July 25th, 2023, 6 p.m. We'll start off with a roll call.
Lynn?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Here.
Paul?
Here.
And Ron? And Sam?
Okay. First item, industrial park fly.
Okay. I'm gonna just hand out the cover sheet of the master plan, though. I'll be clear, so I'll just give you the cover sheet on it, first page of it, I should say.
Keeping them walking back.
So I'll just pick that up myself. I'll keep it away from there. I'm gonna walk down this aisle.
I just don't want you to get hurt.
Okay, what you have in front of you is the cover page of the protective covenants in the industrial park. And then the cards I have here, the actual ordinance, and these two things are consistent. What this is all about, I mean, see on the top page there, the grant from the, that were forthcoming from the EDA, was worth a total of $1.3 million, plus $500. You'll see that the first grant, this, the handout I gave you refers to the first grant was received in 1998 for $250,000. This goes to the back of the Claudia era. And you'll also see $250,000 in 2004. Now, 2014 was part of a $921,000 project to do the Fifth West, which serves the industrial park. Now, what's this all about? What's involved here is that the San Pete Heritage Council was the precursor of creating the Utah Heritage Highway and Line Alliance that evolved into the Mormon Pioneer National Heritage Area. I always started working with Senator Bennett on this. He used to tell a story about when his dad was in the Senate, they'd be going on 89 and come back 91, which is now I-15, or vice versa. And he said, you know, one of the things I'm concerned about, he said, my dad was big on this. He said, I can't stand junk cars. And when we go through Kane County, there's a bunch of junk cars. He said, can you make sure what you do if we go ahead and get this bill passed? We started work on it in 2000, finally got passed in 2006, as you know. He said, don't become life. So it was in keeping. We got a little grant here to come up with design guidelines for the industrial park that would be consistent with the Bennett deal and keeping a blight off the highway 89, 1224. Well, what happened over the years is that it kind of got away from us. And what I'm proposing tonight is when we started the project, before we got any federal money, the RJB Foundation gave a $120,000 grant to the Heritage Highway 9 Alliance to get started. And I'm proposing that to you, I just haven't got time as the director of the REA to go down and go over all these covenants with all the property owners and see what we can do to bring them up to where we were. When we started off, we actually had a committee formed down there. I mean, not headed it up. But over time, it's just gone away from us. And I take responsibility for that. So to make it up, my foundation would like to have your approval to put the money into hiring a community development specialist to do this for us. And the way it would work is that the Heritage Area has a contract with Sunrise Engineering, and we'd like to be able to bring someone aboard from Sunrise that we would pay, wouldn't cost the RDA a nickel, to be able to go over the covenants, to look at what's happened down there, compare that with the ordinance, and see what we can do to provide incentives to get rid of the blight. One of the things that kicked this off is that Jack called me and said they get a lot of complaints about people when they come to this event center from all over the United States, where when they go down on that, there's a bunch of blight. You and I have talked about it. I called you that day. So again, we're proposing. It's not going to cost the RDA a nickel. The RJD Foundation will make the money available to hire an engineering firm. In this case, we have a contract. The Heritage has a contract with Sunrise, and the RJD Foundation, like it is $120,000, will give a grant to the Heritage area, which would pay an engineering firm to go over all the covenants, the ordinances, what's going on down there in the real world, and see what we can do to clear up the blight. So what I guess I'm asking for is approval from the RDA to let us carry out this independent analysis, which won't cost the RDA a nickel. That's my proposal.
I'm happy to answer any questions. I think it needs to be boiled back to an enforcement issue.
Exactly.
Pardon me?
I think it needs an enforcement issue. Not
exactly.
Let's give them a discount or give them
You're right. It's enforcement.
I think
that what we're going to try to do, because there's so much violation, we're going to try to meet them one-on-one and discuss it. But in the end, as we discussed, remember I talked to you about the fact, this analysis to tell them why we're doing it, we would not have the power to have the firm do anything on enforcement. But once you've got the analysis, we can see what we can do to bring it in, then we would hope we could begin to enforce what's going on down there. It's hard to do it now because it's gone away from us, it's out of hand, and it's almost going to take an intensive effort to explain to each of them what we're doing and why.
So is there an option of you sending everyone that has property out there, saying that you're going to have a meeting at City Hall or wherever, and say, everybody's here, this is the issue, this is an enforcement issue, we're going to start enforcement?
We've done that. We've done that on a case-by-case basis. What we'd like to do, though, is do a comparative analysis where this firm would also, early on, I borrowed a lot of this stuff here, all these covenants here, from the Springville Industrial Park. But what we'd like to do is have a professional independent analysis done to show the rationale of they're up to this, and so they can meet one-on-one with each one of them so there can be no misunderstanding. I agree with you 100%, Sam, it's enforcement. What we'd like to do, though, is have an analysis done that can compare why these covenants were prepared and to compare it to other industrial parks where they've been able to control the blight. So we just like to do an independent study, then report, bring it back to you, and then enforcement, Sam, I agree, is the key issue.
Well, what I'm concerned about is the legal side of it. With an engineering firm, are they going to know about the legal side of this? Because that's where it comes down to.
We're not going to get involved in enforcement.
That's why I wonder if we got enough teeth to, even if we have the analysis done, if we got enough teeth legally to do what needs to be done.
When most property owners bought the property out there, did they sign any kind of agreement to?
They should have signed it. I'm sure.
Yes, and they can. They knew what the zoning ordinance was. These covenants, early on were given to them, along with zoning ordinance. This zoning ordinance leads completely to it. But to be candid, it was what you call benign neglect. We let it get away from us. The only purpose of having the NPA firm involved so that we can have an analysis that shows what should be done and make recommendations to you independently. And yes, then it's up to the governing body, and especially in your capacity, not as RDA board members, but as a city council, to begin to enforce it. And right now, if you're trying to enforce it, all I'm going to do is say, hey, nobody told me about this. Nobody told me I couldn't have five junk cars. Well, the ordinance says you can't have it.
The ordinance says it, and so I wouldn't need it. I don't know why it would make a difference, because if they're going to complain, they're going to complain one way or another, even if you go out and have a big meeting, they're going to complain. I've heard from some of the officers that they'll try to write a ticket when they go to other people, and then their people tell them not to write a ticket.
Who tells them not to write a ticket?
I don't know. That's what I've been told.
Well,
hey, Ma, I think part of the issue is I've been involved with this from when I was on the council, even before the planning commission, is that has evolved out there so much that even the codes and the covenants that were originally written may not even be accommodate what's going on out there. You might have to look at adjusting the code a little bit.
I should say that.
We're talking about weeds and
my point was to bring them in, to analyze it and to see what is realistic to do,
yeah,
and what is not realistic to do.
Yeah.
Before we start, we're going to try to use a carrot rather than a stick. To go down and go over, most of them, some of them have come in there the last few years, have never heard of these covenants. Take a look at their date, only from when we first did this. And the people who were involved, as the association down there, they've gone away a long time ago. Some of them passed away, some of them sold their property. So the purpose of the firm is to have conversations with them, then come back and give a report on what they think is realistic to enforce here, so you have something. Because right now, if you were to send somebody out there and enforce this, you'd probably have a hard time doing it. Because we let too much go on without doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, then what's the difference with that than the city limits? So now why are we giving these guys, if you let your public carrot,
why
are people in city limits? But then there's another issue that
I can hold on. And I want to bring that up.
Because we're not enforcing stuff.
No, because Sandra Rubin, she said, hey, it's not just the industrial part.
I mean, I think if we're going to enforce it, I mean, it goes back to your parts and city.
It is.
I've got a recommendation.
We think it's an enforcement issue. How many times have people been hauled into court back when you were on the council? You've been hauled people into court, they slap their hand, and the next day they'd be right back where they were.
But, yep, right. Yes, but I think you need to go back to the original when that industrial park was developed. The committee started, and they had a big part in developing those covenants, and a lot of those have moved on. So I think you need to bring everybody back together.
That's
because the industrial park is a whole separate zone than anywhere else in the community, so it may be that the people out there want to revisit the code and say, well, this is more fitting for what we want to do.
Now, let me be as clear as I can. The purpose of it is most of them in there now have never heard of these companies. Never have heard of them. The people that helped put them together, the grant money we used, this was aspiration. Yeah, again, I've never, well, whatever you do, we're going to get judged. Okay, the point I guess I'm making is, I think it's important to do an in-depth analysis, bring them all together, go over with it, and then say, now, here is what is realistic to do down there now under the current circumstances, and then we can amend these covenants, put another association together back down there where they can help each other, because one of the things this points out in the handout I gave you is the best interest to do it because it keeps everybody's property values up. If you don't go to one largest common denominator, it reminds me of my town. When I was growing up, Goshen was one of the prettiest towns. My great-great-grandfather had Durst and Pons. My grandfather built this big, beautiful Victorian-type house in Goshen. I would go there, it was the most beautiful town you'd ever seen. You go there today, and it's a junkyard. What it's done is gone to the lowest common denominator. And frankly, I take personal responsibility because I was too busy to organize it, get new couples together. We tried it two or three times and didn't materialize. So I guess all I'm saying is, yes, it's enforcement 100%, but in terms of industrial park specifically, I would like to hire a firm to meet with everybody, go over it, maybe get their input on what can be done to remedy, what we need to change in the covenants, parts that might not be realistic. For example, very often when we tried to enforce it, people say to us, what do you mean? We're not Provo, we're not Springdale, this is Mount Pleasant. We can't be told what to, you know, I don't want to take it too far. I mean, you get where I'm going with this, right? So I guess what I'm saying, the purpose of the firm is to do an in-depth analysis, revisit these covenants, see what's realistic, what's not, get input from all the people down there so we can know how they feel, and we bring it back to you. And then it becomes enforcement after that.
Like I said, my only question is there's got to be some legal part to this too, other than just them going out and interviewing now and seeing where we stand legally.
Once you adopt it as a code, that becomes the legal point.
Yeah, precisely. They're not going to involve, they can't involve themselves in any way in enforcement or legal. It's analysis of what's there, what can be remedied, and then it has to go up to the governing body and the police department decide if you want to get serious about enforcing it.
Because that's where it comes from.
And it wouldn't be an engineer. It would be through our community development group.
No, I should have been clear. It's Sunrise Engineering, but he was going to try to be here tonight, but he couldn't make it, evidently.
I thought he would be here.
But again, the whole purpose is to see what's there, line it up with what was supposed to be there, see if we can have some meeting of the minds, bring it back together, bring it back together, bring it back to you, and you decide what to do with it as you move forward with enforcement. That's the purpose of it. It won't cost you a nickel. Your JV foundation is paying for it.
I guess my only piece on it would be say, hey, I know you kind of compared apples to oranges, but it's same with city limits. There's people that have weed lots that are horrible. They're bringing other people.
We don't want that.
But I'm just saying, if we're trying to tell these people that we're going to give them incentives now in the industrial park, but why can't we do that in the city?
I don't think there's any incentive.
It was in your best interest to do it because we're not going to give any money or anything like that. We're going to help you plan to make this work. That's the incentive.
It just seems like, I mean, that's the exact word, incentive. Incentive to me means that we're giving them something to, you know, better their property. So why are we doing it out there and not everywhere else?
The incentive here was you can apply for grants. Well, I see what you mean. I'm talking about the incentive with what we're doing now. In the original, where it said, I see what you mean. Policy number two, establish incentives. What those were is grants would be available to you for landscaping and stuff like that. Those were the incentives. But again, we just like to have a community development consultant do the analysis and bring it back to you and see what we can do with it.
Yeah. I agree with you, Sam. It's all over the city. And when we get into the city council side of it, I'm going to bring what I would like to propose. So.
I have my copy of it.
That's probably two separate issues.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was just talking about the city council side of it.
I want to get the RGA board to say to you, the RJB Foundation would pay for analysis to be done, which we'd be back to you. Then if it gets to the enforcement stage, then that involves you in your capacity as council members, not RGA board.
So you basically have to rewrite that code, wouldn't you?
We may have to.
Do we need a motion?
Yes.
Well, I'll make a motion. We go ahead with the... what is it?
We have to move forward with analysis.
Analysis on the industrial part.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, second by Russell, to approve. How to word this right? Analysis of the industrial part paid for by a grant.
We have the medical degree for their flight disorder. We gave 120. We'll give a grant to them, and they, because you have a, somebody has it, you'll have a contract.
So where's the grant coming from?
The RJAB Foundation.
Should go through a pass.
The grant will go to the Water Pioneer National Heritage Area, and which has a contract with Sunrise Engineer to do this kind of stuff.
So basically, it's coming through.
Just basically pass through.
Yeah, pass through. Okay.
It's coming to a foundation named after RJB, first that we developed. He did the first funds over the state of Utah in 1904.
How much money are we talking, Mark?
I don't know. My son is going to get it here. He said, Dad, don't spend over 20.
I think what was wrong was like five.
Okay. Have you got a word to give enough, Jeannie?
I have to approve moving ahead with analysis in the industrial park paid for by the RJB Foundation grant.
Okay,
that's it. Bill
Kell. Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
No.
Okay, next. Purchase order for playground equipment in the amount of
$178,880. So, I don't actually have the purchase order requisition prepared. I do have the quote. It's in a...
We could just approve the quote.
It is an agreement form, but I...
I think, I don't want to get into a lot of the details of Iowa over the last time, it's just mainly to purchase the playground until we get that secure and get that in place, and then we'll move forward with the other components of the improvements of the park. So that's all I'm asking for tonight, is just approval to move forward with that obligation from the city.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve quote number 783-160694B in the amount of $188,779 for playground equipment from Mount Pleasant City Park.
I was second.
So, is that what, 100, I think it's 170.
It's 170.
You did a distance, you know.
Okay, so it's 178 then.
178, 874. I'll second that.
So I have a motion by Russell, second by Lynn, to approve quote number 783-160694B in the dollar amount of $178,880.74 for playground equipment to play and park structures, Nevada and Utah. Roll call.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Ken?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm still looking through some of the BABA and American Utility Funds for special funding. They have to comply with all those, so they're working on giving me certificates for all that, and then still the authorized vendor from the state of Sherman. So those, there's still a couple of things that are outstanding that they're supposed to provide me before I'll move forward with this, but once I get those, then I'll probably...
Did you say that we ordered by the first?
Well, he, in order to take advantage of the grant that's part of that, he said as long as we have something in the works by July 1st, probably won't need to be delivered until September or fall, so... But he said that he still would honor that, so I think we're in good shape that way. The other thing was the project sign. We need to get a project sign for out there, and I think I have $1,500 in the budget, but in talking to Mon, like, who's doing the signs for the other...
We had a spring, the mayor working on that.
Yeah, it's a place out of Springville that Dave's had Lisa Potter from the Art Council help him do a sign for the restrooms at the Contoy. And Dave's been gone for 2 weeks, so I asked him tonight about it or that way, and he says he hasn't had time to check on it.
But they've got the wording that's required and so forth. Lisa's been working with him.
For this one, we'll have to have a different sign. So we'll
have an app that I'll get to it, but I just wanted to kind of just get your blessing on going forward and trying to find somebody to do that sign. I don't think it'll cost. It's only like a 2x3 sign. It has to be on plywood. It's a temporary sign during the construction, just like you see on all the other projects. Eventually, there will have to be a plaque.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
No, this is just a sign for construction.
Yeah, I think that's when we brought up the one for the $150,000 grant from Outdoor Rec is because they had specifications they were given to Lisa and to Dave, and the mayor signed off on.
Yeah, and they have the same thing for this program. It had to be approved by the state.
So basically, this is just the temporary construction sign that you're talking about.
And then down the road, you do the program.
Yes. That'll come later, but right now we see probably that sign before we get too much going on.
That's for the entire park project, not just the playground.
Are you thinking of just maybe like putting it on either the restrooms that's out there, that building the restrooms are on, or else the tennis court, or
I don't know. We can put it on the new restrooms, just a plaque somewhere that's the public.
I'm just saying this temporary one.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where the best place to be. I haven't really thought
of it. Being temporary, just maybe on tennis or the old tennis courts.
It would probably make sense to maybe put it as you go through either the access between the train cars or that little gateway from just south of the restrooms where you walk through, maybe somewhere in that area. I don't know how important it is. I think it just needs to be visible and kind of out of
yes, conspicuous area.
Isn't this going to be a paper sign on a piece of plywood?
No, it'll be a plywood painted sign. They'll probably put vinyl or something on it.
One on each side of the park.
When it's probably completed, we'll do a bigger plaque. This is just a temporary that we're supposed to have to say.
For the construction.
Yeah. It doesn't require to, so I don't know that we need to go to the trouble to do it.
I'd say go ahead and go for it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt. Could I have one more, make one more point, independent of this, but it has to do with the park. The Heber Valley Railway is finally going to pull out the heavy engine that's not required. They donated that diesel engine that they brought down.
I'm doing a lot better.
It's quite amazing. It's going to take two cranes and two trucks. It's going to cost $42,000 to load that engine up and bring it down here. But we can count the value of the appraisal as a match, and the appraisal of that diesel could be between $85,000 and $90,000. It would be a donation to the RDA, and then that will go up. Now the number. A few months back, we talked about that water tower that we used in St. John. The rancher, for that cost, Kevin Costafield, he wants to keep that. But we've got a replica that they've given us the specs of. I sent it down to Scott Olds, the new county building inspector, to confirm the fact that this is not going to have any public use. It's going to be like ambiance or atmosphere. We don't need to get a building permit. And we're supposed to start Monday on constructing that water tower. It will be right to the east of where the gazebo is down there.
Is that the four white dots they got part painted out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's getting pretty cool.
Yeah, that answered my question when we talked about it earlier.
Yeah, Paul was just talking about that beforehand. It's like, when's the engine coming?
Finally. The Mike who has to take that, the big diesel out of the way, decrease the weight. I asked the crank guy when I got him down off the crane, I said, how come it's going to cost $42,000 if they're decreasing the weight? He said, well, he said, it's what kills us, we have to use two trucks, two cranes, get it down there, then we get it here, then we got to load it up, put it on there, and so forth. The reason it's been held up, the Mike who's doing that's been in North Carolina, but it is finally coming. And again, it's being donated by Heber Valley Railway. And the deal we've given to them is, we'll hand out their brochures and stuff down there, and we'll put a plaque on it, donated by Heber Valley Railway, and we'll also hand out their flyers and stuff with the information.
Sounds like beauty.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
The sign basically is what I said. We don't have time to get that, but that's the sign going on one month arena. And then we'd like to do a ribbon cutting. Are you waiting for the sign for the restroom too, for ribbon cutting on that?
Whatever you want to do, I just said, Dave, he said you work. I said, whatever the mayor wants to do, RDA. Jack had some question about finally, I had to say, get back to Lisa Echols. You know, we got $60,000 we're doing for landscaping. The Heritage Area is putting us $30,000, and the Echols Foundation, $30,000. And there are some people that you want to hold out on doing what is required for the rest of them when they come down and see, but hold on the one you're looking at the building until we finish the landscaping. That's going to be your call. We'll do whatever you want us to do. But I called Bridger last week to see when he'd have that landscaping done. He said it'd be done the middle part, latter part of August.
Down the Contoy, what would it take for us to spray those roads with what the county does to keep the dust down?
Mag water?
Yeah. We could do that with our water truck, couldn't we?
I don't know where you get it from.
Yeah. Maybe I'll talk to Tom, because it's bad down there. The dust is getting pretty bad. It really means that's a county road. It really needs to go down west further, where it turns over to the north.
Paul, you might control it. We have a deal every year where they throw it in front of the hydros of the county.
Yeah.
And so I think you get a better deal the more you order.
Is that with the county? Or I know
that's what the county does. That's what the county has there.
I'll talk to Tom and see what it would take if maybe they was doing it.
That's awesome.
So like I said, on the sign, it's still on hold for that. I'll spread that on the agenda. So we get back to information.
Okay, we're good now?
We're good. Unless somebody else has something.
Okay, I'll make the motion. We adjourn then.
Ben, second it. Sam, second it?
Good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?